This is the Horse Radio Network.
Horse Nation.
This episode is Do Try This at Home.
Leslie, I'm...
Failure is always an option. Any result's a result, that's for sure. Or not.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Glenn the Geek, founder of the Horse Radio Network, and we welcome you to a special Mongol Derby update episode of Horses in the Morning. We're both tired here. And we are doing this at 9 o'clock on Sunday evening, August 13th, following day 5 of the Mongol Derby. The sound for this will be added to the Horses in the Morning podcast feed like we have every other night. If you missed anything, just go listen there at horsesinthemorning.com. And I'm back, just from back from roller derby practice, is my co-host Devin, two-time Mongol. You just do all kinds of derbies. You're just into derbies.
Yeah, derbies are good.
So you really are just back from roller derby practice?
Yes, I am. I am fresh back. I haven't even changed my clothes yet. I'm covered in my sweat, other girls' sweat, all sorts of sweat.
Does it remind you of your days at the Mongol Derby covered in sweat and stink?
It does, yeah. I'm feeling very dirty and smelly and one with the riders on the step. So,
God, what a day. We have so much to go over. I don't even know where to start.
I guess we just start at the front. But, yeah, it was a hell of a day for day 5. I can't even believe it. Anybody not watching this race is completely insane.
That's right. And I want to, any of the listeners, let us know that our sound is good, high or low or whatever. We're winging this tonight. I'm still in a hotel room in Philadelphia, apparently, and still in the interrogation room. And Devin just got back from roller derby practice. So,
yeah, and you just finished up a trade show. I can't imagine that you're running on sleep, you know, nice sleep and resting. And
well, I'm doing better than Leslie is probably, so I'm resting.
So her support team is looking pretty haggard today. So,
yeah. So, and hi, Tommy, Leslie's husband is here. So, where are we at? We've had some drama this morning. First of all, Leslie did not show up on the leaderboard today, and it caused a major panic around the world.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking international crisis, Geneva Convention, the whole nine yards, because her Twitter fan base exploded all over the Mongol Derby today, going, where's Leslie? Where's Leslie? Where's Leslie? And finally, it hit the derby how many people are following this girl and how important it is that they keep her, you know, on the leaderboard.
Yeah, and let's not forget her.
Yeah, seriously, don't forget her. She has an entourage, and they're like, people were probably buying plane tickets to Mongolia in the effect of, you know, her not being on the leaderboard. But she's fine. She's still trucking. Everything's great. And she is appearing on the tracker and the leaderboard as of right now.
Yeah, she's moving. Looks like she's flying. She did 125 kilometers yesterday.
Not bad.
She did four stations yesterday, and she was really flying. Mm-hmm. She ended up staying in, was it 14 last night?
Yeah.
And she ended up staying there along with about 15 other people. It was crowded.
Yes. Yeah. It's a big old crowd at 14.
Yeah. So that was good. What else do you got for us? So we'll talk about the leaders here in a minute, but, there's some other things going on that you've gotten a little bit of inside knowledge on.
Yeah. I just wanted to share something that I got, from Eric Cooper, who is an employee of The Adventurist, as well as a personal friend of mine, as well as Leslie. She interviewed him before she went.
And there's some really cute blood wagon dude.
He is. He is the person in charge of the blood wagon, which carries the cripples around while they're recovering from the race. I can only say that because I have been a resident of the blood wagon, so it's set
blood
in
wagon.
Love. It's set in love. But anyway, he sent me a message this morning telling me to make sure that the Horses in the Morning clan, as he's calling it, knows that the clan. He wants everyone to know that she's okay and that her spirit will not be broken. We had an epic horse catch yesterday when she came off that included jeep chases, broken stirrups, goat corrals, human walls, and him leaning out of a furgon with someone holding his legs trying to catch this horse. And Leslie was beaming the entire time. I mean, by the time they got
laughing.
Of course. course she's laughing. I mean, this guy's leaning out of a furgon trying to catch a horse for her. And he comes back and she's all smiles. And he just says, like, she could probably get shot and she'd still smile. I mean, she's really killing it as far as keeping her spirits up.
Tommy, that was a joke. That was a joke.
Sorry, Tommy.
Maybe use a different term.
Yeah. Anyway, she's a badass.
So I didn't realize that was a separate incident. So she had another incident yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the Twitter.
She's taking the asshole ponies. Yes. I mean, I don't know. It's like she's like the asshole whisperer.
She really has gotten some wild ones.
Yeah.
But apparently she's back on and trucking along. And she is about, what is it, a little over 200 kilometers behind the leaders at this point.
Yeah, yeah. But still making really good, like, you know, even though she's riding mid-pack, she's still pulling 75, 80 miles a day. So that's pretty serious riding.
And I noticed that even out of the group last night, she has taken a lead out of the group last night this morning. So she's right. Booking. Yeah, she's booking.
Exactly.
And as we all expect her to. Tommy says no worries.
Sorry, Tommy.
You know, and what then, we're competing against tonight, too, Devin, is Game of Thrones. So
I know I'm missing it to do the podcast. So, Leslie, you better be – this is like some serious commitment here that I am live streaming instead of watching Game of Thrones. So feel the love because it's here.
So what do you want to talk about the leaders here real quick?
Yeah, but first I want to talk about Liv Wood, who is our other tribute for this year because she just had a badass adventure. Yesterday during day five, she came off her horse and hurt her back. And now she has been dealing with a nagging ankle injury.
That's our Canadian friend, right, Liv?
Yes, yes. This is Leslie and I's Canadian friend who came down and trained with us. She's also our derby girl. You know, she's definitely somebody I'm keeping track of. And she's actually caught up to, or Leslie's kind of dropped back, and she's caught up to Leslie. So they're riding together until yesterday when Leslie came off a horse and had a pretty bad fall. And when she came off, she had some pretty bad symptoms that kind of suggested she may have a fracture in her spine.
Yeah, okay, wait a minute. So you said Leslie, but you meant Liv. Let's not get everybody.
Sorry, panicked. Liv. Yes, yep. Okay, don't panic. Leslie's fine. It's fine. Don't eat me.
It's Liv that came off. Yeah.
Yeah, Liv came off and injured her spine. So she was actually medevaced to Ulaanbaatar, to the hospital in Ulaanbaatar for x-rays. And they kept her overnight. She has a clean x-ray. And she's actually making derby history because tomorrow she will be back in the race. No one has ever been airlifted to, or not airlifted, nobody's ever been driven to the hospital and then resumed the race. So this is kind of derby history. It shows you kind of how badass she is, that she thought she broke her spine and she's in that much pain and she's still going to get on and finish. I was talking to her over Facebook Live this morning, and she says she feels like she has to finish no matter what. So she, with that in mind, she will be carried forward a couple of Ertus, catch up with Leslie and her pack, and we'll continue the ride and try to get those last 400Ks done.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Like, serious hats off to Liv, because that's just completely next level. Honestly.
Wow. So we've had a lot of firsts this year. That's a first. We had Leslie doing 25 kilometers without stirrups.
Yeah. That's what I told you. These girls, these honorary Texas girls are scrappy. They are scrappy riders.
They had a good trainer. They had a good instructor.
Okay. These guys are so good. In addition, we had Marianne Logue Williams, who is a favorite, a very well-known endurance rider here. She retired yesterday with a broken clavicle. Unfortunately, that one was broken, and they took her to the clinic in Ulaanbaatar, and she's officially retired from the race.
Yeah, she was 54 from the U.S.
Yes. Yep. So she's officially retired, getting some good medication and some nice, from what I hear, some nice food as well in Ulaanbaatar, enjoying her time, making the best of it. So,
and they started out on day two with hypothermia and cold and snow and rain and just miserable weather. And now they're getting into the part of Mongolia that's really hot. They're starting to hit the heat, aren't they? From what I read.
Yes, I heard from Eric that it is a scorcher out there today. with temps in the 80s, and the direct sun. There's not really cloud or tree cover, so it's really beaming down on them. And it'll make, I hope everybody still has their electrolytes, and I hope, you know, whoever, I hope people are still sharing electrolytes with Leslie, because she's going to need them now.
Yeah, I guess we kind of lost hers along the way. And
still no, you know, they no still, sign of her pony.
They still, yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that was the question we had. A lot of people have been asking this question. We never answered it last night. Is it their own saddles? Who provides this? Where's the saddles come from?
The saddles come from a small manufacturer in South Africa called Franco C Saddlery. And they're very similar to the closest thing we have in America to them are like the Abeta Endurance saddles, the synthetic, very lightweight saddles. They don't have a horn, but they do have kind of a prominent cantle and a pommel that kind of cushions you a little bit from front to back. So it does have a little bit more substance than your average jump seat or something like that. And then everybody has to bring their own fenders and stirrups. No, they're provided in your entry fee.
Okay.
Yeah. Just to go over the leaders real quick. We still have, we have a little bit of drama going on the front too. Jackie Malot managed to pick up a 2-hour penalty yesterday. Ed Fernon is still up in the pack and he's penalty free. And Marie Palzer picked up a 6-hour penalty yesterday.
And as I see it now, they're coming up on 21 and 22 is where they'll serve the penalties, right?
Exactly. Yes. They will serve those in real time. And she's got 6 hours to sit and cool her heels. So that's going to really, yeah.
That's going to make a difference. And I'm seeing here that they're heading out of 21 now. Actually, Jackie is headed out of 21. So she's on her way to 22 where she'll sit out her penalty. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Jackie.
Right, he'll sit out his penalty at 22 then.
Mm-hmm. And Barry Armitage is still shadowing that pack about 20 Ks back. So he will probably pass both Jackie and Marie, and Ed and Barry will be our leaders for tomorrow.
Wow. So they are really fighting it out up there. Now they're getting those penalties as vet penalties, right? So they're pushing the horses and that's why they're getting the penalties. Yes.
Yeah. Marie was awarded a 4-hour penalty as her third offense, which has also never happened at the Derby before. This is the very first time that somebody's been given a 4-hour penalty for heart rate. And
she's
I don't
be
know
because they'll pull her if that happens again.
The
right?
next. Yeah. She's eligible for disqualification at this point.
Well, and it's for the benefit of the horses. I mean, that's why they do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah. People are asking what is a 6-hour penalty for? And that was what it was.
So she picked up, up another 2-hour heart rate and a 4-hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you talked to Mr. Bloodwagon. What are the spirits over there right now?
They're very, very high. Spirits are quite high over. Okay. He says that the backpack, which is usually where he kind of hangs out, he does go up to the front as well, but he usually kind of tries to stay where the most concentration of riders are to keep them kind of going. And kind of happy. And, you know, Eric is one of those people who just bleeds enthusiasm at every moment of the day. So he's really good at keeping people's spirits up if they're flagging a little bit. But he says that the pack is really happy and, you know, everybody's got a kind of a just let's just get through this monster kind of personality right now.
Well, and you would have to, I guess the ones that are left, I mean, that's the attitude you're going to have because their leaders are at 750 kilometers. So they got 250 to go. I mean, they're 3/4 of the way there.
And today we saw a rule change that will affect the way that you'll watch the Derby. They've instigated what they call the race class and the adventure class, which is gives kind of people a little bit of a break. And the new rules are as follows. The front pack will not be allowed to leave a horse station after 7 p.m. Which means that what they're trying to do is they're trying to bring the front pack back in just a little bit. They'll have eclipse riding times so that the backpack can catch up a little bit to them.
Oh, okay.
And the backpack, everybody who is less than 3 from the front will no longer serve their penalties when they get to 22.
So really?
It seems a little unfair at first, but what they're trying to do is kind of condense people in a little bit. And make it so that we still have the race to the finish, but that the back people have the best chance to finish within 10 days that they can. So if you have somebody in the back who has 4 hours of penalties and they're at risk of not finishing within 10 days, it's really not in anyone's interest to make them sit for 4 hours. That 4 hours will be added to their overall time at the end.
Ah, I gotcha. Right. So they at least get across the finish line.
Exactly, right. Exactly. Yeah. So they're not gonna move up and get a time racing as far as competition wise, that time isn't gonna make any difference because it will be added to their ride time, but they won't have to sit in real time and wait on it.
And these are pretty much people that are not gonna win at this point either. They're back in the pack. Right. We're just looking at them wanting them all to finish.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. I didn't understand that from what I read. It was kind of hard to understand that.
These guys are people, the people that this applies to are not the front runners, the people who are racing. These are the people at the back who are at risk of not finishing in 10 days. They want to give them as much of a chance as possible.
And apparently they're answering questions now. Apparently they're getting lots of questions. The organizers are on the penalties and the holds and horses coming into the vet. And, you know, I think it's probably Jackie's fans are jumping in there. And also everybody else that has penalties are jumping in and asking about that. But the whole 30 minute to get the heart rate down and all of that, they're kind of explaining that again right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's confusing if you're not there. Definitely.
Or if you haven't been listening to us every night.
That's true. Yeah, you can just watch all of our broadcasts and then you'll know every rule.
Now, as we get further back in the pack, we have the top three or four that we've talked about. And then we have Dingo still in there. He's still...
Yeah, Warren and Dingo are still at... they slept at Ur 219 last night.
And they're still riding together, it looks like.
Yeah. They seem to be getting on rather well, so...
And of course, Dingo's the one that won last year. He's the returning champ.
Yes.
And then the other two right behind them are Rebecca Hewitt. And right behind her right now is Greg Chant. And those two have been riding together for a long time, actually. They've been together. So
I think Greg Chant will probably, I don't know this for sure, but I think he rounds out the race class and then everybody else's adventure class, I think.
And he's about 50 kilometers behind right now. Those two are sitting about 50 kilometers behind. And then we have Jody Ward, who's right behind them.
Maybe she sneaks in too.
Yeah, she's right behind them. So I think that's your top class right there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and she just left that R2, which is number maybe 19. So it's hard to tell. I wish they had them numbered on the map. I keep having to count.
Yeah, if you hover over the little gear, it pulls up a number.
Oh, it does. Look at that. I kept clicking on it, hoping it would open up. But,
you just have to hover your mouse a little bit.
Yeah, she just left 19 along with the other two. So she's between 19 and 20. So she's probably got a chance. Those are rounding out to be your top 10 anyway at this point.
Yeah.
Well, what are you feeling as a rider at this point? You're hitting three quarters of the way through. Where's your mind at and where's your body at?
This is the point where joints start to break down. And this is the point where you begin kind of getting overuse injuries, which are my least favorite things, ever. this is kind of where the body starts really sort of hurting at the joints and where you start feeling kind of the elongated fatigue. You know, I say day three is the worst day, but day five and day six can also be pretty bad. And just to look forward, if you're riding at the back and a little bit slower, to look forward and know you still have the same amount of time in the saddle left is pretty scary sometimes. You have to really...
You just spent 4 days and you're going, I just crossed the halfway. I got to do this again.
Exactly right. You have to kind of muster your courage and say, okay, if I did it once, I can do it again on this backstretch. I can finish. And of course,
have we heard about intestinal illness at this point? Any intestinal illness going around? Have we heard anything?
Not yet. Twitter has been pretty quiet on the GI, issues. Although they have this year had a lot of falls to report on. I mean, they've had a ton of news, so I guess they're not covering gastro issues this time. slow news.
And the videos of the bucking ponies they've been posting is like, holy cow.
Yeah, no, I think people sort of don't think, you know, when you say semi-feral horse, they have an idea of what they're getting into. But I think once they start posting the videos of the horses bronking really badly, you go, oh, man, they're having to break 28 ponies over this whole thing. It's a whole new level of challenge.
And I think following the Twitter, you realize how hard it is for the organizers to do this event. I mean, they're getting stuck in the mud with their vehicles. And remember that underpass we talked about them going through? Apparently, whoever controls the underpass was going to let the horses through, but not the vehicles.
Oh, my God.
I had that to deal with today. There's always something.
Yeah. The last year that I went, when I was riding in the Blood Wagon, we actually had Ford a... I'm going to say it was a 100 foot river across. And the thing that we traveled on was like a steel boat. And like, it was like a ferry, and we pulled across by like a chain, and we parked the Furgon on this thing. And I was certain we were going to sink into the river. I mean, I was like, there's no way this is going to be floating when we get to the other side. And it all worked out. But I mean, I could not believe that I was sitting in the middle of a river in a Furgon on a slab of metal trying to ford a river to get to a finish line. I couldn't believe it.
It's pretty bad when the Blood Wagon's terrifying.
Yeah.
Just when you think you're safe.
No. And the part of being in the Blood Wagon was I had to at points navigate with the Blood Wagon. Okay, Evan, where are we going? And I'm looking at my GPS like, I thought this was over. I thought I could just lay back and be sick. I didn't know I had to get us places.
Well, we're going to keep it short tonight, partly because a certain somebody has to get on an airplane for Japan.
Yeah, I looked at my ticket and it said I was leaving Monday, and I didn't think about it until this side of Colorado, and I just pulled it up for kicks this morning and I realized, oh, that's 1 a.m. tonight, so I better start packing.
Yeah, you better get going. So you're heading off to Japan for a couple of months to train some horses over there. Are they endurance horses, by the way?
Yeah. I'm headed over for about 6 weeks to stay with my friends at their endurance stable and ride Arabs. So.
Well, that's cool. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you're going to be eating a lot of sushi, I assume, while you're there.
Lots of really, really good food. Yeah. And I should be able to catch you tomorrow at about 4 o'clock in the morning in Japan as I'm eating my breakfast of sushi. So.
Oh, really? You think you're going to try?
Yeah, definitely.
And you know what? The Japanese have better internet connections than we do. So.
I know. I'll be so clear and nice, and like, you'll be able to see all my.
You won't have a halo.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have a guest tomorrow night too, right?
Yes, we are. My friend Ivo, who is the executive producer of the documentary All the Wild Horses, as well as a two-time Mongol Derby veteran, will be joining us tomorrow on the show. So I can't wait.
We tried to get him on tonight for everybody, and we just didn't have we didn't have enough connection to get him on. He was had a bad cell connection tonight, so we tried. We tried as best we can, and we'll definitely try again tomorrow night to get him back on. But you go get packed and head off to Japan, and then we'll talk to you from Japan tomorrow night.
I will talk to you from Japan tomorrow.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And if you missed any part of this, we'll put it on the Horses in the Morning podcast feed in audio form very shortly. Have a safe trip.
Bye, Glenn.